Well, boys and girls, returning to God's Word, and I want to just remind you of two passages, starting with Jeremiah chapter 30. I want to read from there. Jeremiah chapter 30, we're continuing our study of prophecy related to the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're looking at the subject of the Great Tribulation, which the Savior said would take place very shortly before He returns to this earth. And in Jeremiah chapter 30, we have the Savior referring to this matter. Verse 4 of Jeremiah chapter 30 says, "And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah." In other words, all of the 12 tribes. "For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble." What the Lord is saying here is that this trouble will affect all of the Jews, all of the descendants of Israel. It is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Verse 24, the last verse of the chapter, I want to link it in with it. "The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he hath done it, and until he hath performed the intents of his heart." So this trouble that's coming on Jacob is coming from the Lord, and it's coming with a specific purpose. God's working out his purpose. He is judging, he is chastening his ancient people. This time of Jacob's trouble is God dealing with his people. When will it be? Verse 24, "In the latter days, in the latter days, ye shall consider it." These things that Jeremiah is here speaking about take place in the latter days. Now, the latter days are the last days of the age, the last days before the Savior comes, and that's when that will happen. So, when we compare Scripture with Scripture, begin to build up the picture. How many have jigsaws? Quite a few. And if you're going to work at a jigsaw, the first thing you do is you take the box and you just dump it out. And when you dump it out, all the bits are everywhere. Isn't that right? It doesn't fall out nicely fitting together. No, no. The fun is getting all these scattered bits and fitting them together. A good way to start a jigsaw is to start trying to get the corners, because they're very distinctive little bits. Then you start looking for others. You might have found the corner that you've just placed up there, but it's down here, you find the other bit, and then the next bit is over there, and the next, you're all over the place. That's a little bit like studying the Bible. You find one wee bit that helps build the picture over here, in this book, and then you have to go back to another book, and there you find another piece that helps to complete the picture. And that's why God tells us to study Scripture and compare Scripture with Scripture, because it has pleased Him to place His truth here and there and yonder in the Bible. I'm sure as a means of encouraging you to search the Scriptures and find the pieces of the picture. So, the verse 24 of Jeremiah 30 tells us that what God has spoken of regarding the time of Jacob's trouble is going to be in the last days. Now, we have already discovered that God has determined that a certain period of time will be allotted to the bringing about of events. 70 weeks. 70 times 7 periods. And we worked that out as 490 years in which he is going to fulfill certain events within the nation of Israel and connected with the nation of Israel. He said from the command to build the wall of Jerusalem until the cutting off of Messiah or Calvary, there was going to be 69 weeks, or 7 weeks short of 490 weeks. So that period, the 69-week period, is over. But there's another period left. The final seven is left. And we are told that it lies in the future. It lies in the future. 7 weeks in which God is going to finish his purpose regarding Israel. 7 weeks. And that lies in the future. And this trouble that the descendants of Jacob, the Jews, are going to pass through, we're told it's going to happen in the latter days. That's part of the last 7 year period. Let's read another portion. The book of the Revelation and the chapter 12. Quite a bit of what we call figurative or symbolic language employed here. When the Savior was pleased to set forth in the gospel certain gospel truths, he often used parables. He used symbolic language. Doesn't the Savior say, "I am the good shepherd"? That's a symbol. That's a picture. Well, in Revelation chapter 12, you have a lot of pictures. Don't panic, and certainly don't rush in to try and guess what these symbols represent. But take your time. And like I said about the jigsaw, go here and you go there in the Bible, and let the Bible tell you what the symbols mean. Well, let's read from chapter 12 of Revelation, and we're reading from verse 1. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travail in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. We're not going to devote a lot of time to working out just exactly what these symbols are, but let me just tell you that here we have a picture of a good woman. If you're familiar with your Bible, you know that in Revelation 17, you have an evil woman depicted, and she's the symbol of an evil system of religion. An evil system of religion. And then here we have a woman. But I would suggest to you that this woman is a symbol of a good system of religion. The woman in Revelation 17, she has an awful evil name upon her, and she's painted up and dolled up and fancied, and it's clear that she's a wicked woman. But this woman here, look at what it says about her. She was clothed with the sun. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the Sun, S-U-N, of righteousness. And those who are saved are clothed with his righteousness. They're children of light. The sun is the source of light in this world. Here is a woman that's got a good symbol depicting her character. Light, righteousness, holiness. And it says the moon was under her feet. We in the book of Genesis, we are told God made 2 lights. The sun to rule the day, and the moon to rule the night. This woman has the ruler of the night under her feet. She's not ruled by the moon, but she's trampling the moon, the ruler of the night, under her feet. This depicts again the Christian who has been delivered from darkness, is walking in the light of God, in victory over darkness. And this woman here, depicting, I believe, the church, is persecuted. And I believe it depicts particularly the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in Jerusalem in the last days. We read in the last verse that we did read together, the verse 6, "The woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now remember what we're talking about. The period when the children of Israel will go through a most terrible time of trouble. Have we come across a phrase like that begins verse 6? The woman fled into the wilderness. Back to Matthew chapter 24. Back to Matthew chapter 24. That chapter in which the Lord Jesus is answering the question of when he will return and what will be the sign of his coming again. And in chapter 24, the Savior tells us that there is coming a time when there will be raised up in Jerusalem the abomination of desolation. Verse 15. And it says in verse 16, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains or the wilderness. Flee for hiding, flee for safety into the wilderness. And what you have in Revelation 12 about this woman fleeing into the wilderness, you have that which Christ here is urging upon his people in Matthew 24 taking place. Here are the people of God depicted as fleeing into the wilderness. Verse 6 of Revelation chapter 12. Here is the church in Jerusalem fleeing into the wilderness, where God has prepared a place of safety. The Savior has said in Matthew 24, when he's telling his disciples what it'll be like, what the future will hold, what will be the signs of his coming. There will come a time of great trouble in Jerusalem. And when you see the sign of the idol raised up in the temple, then flee into the wilderness. Flee into the wilderness. That verse 6 of Revelation 12 tells us something else. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. How long's that? We've been over this period of time. We've mentioned how long it lasts in our previous study. Who can remember? Yes, 3.5 years. Or, what was another way of putting that period of time? 42 months. Isn't that right? So here we are, this period of time again. Remember, we told you about Antichrist entering into an agreement with Israel for a 7-year period, and in the middle of the 7 years, he breaks that agreement. He goes back on his word. So here we have 3.5 years. It's the last 3.5 years of Antichrist's domination of Jerusalem. He has risen up to defy God, to crush all who own God as God and as their Savior. But the Lord has prepared a place of refuge for his people in the wilderness. And they flee into the wilderness for a period of 1,260 days. So this period, known as the time of Jacob's trouble, the worst trouble Jacob has ever encountered, that's what the Savior says in Matthew chapter 24 and the verse 21, is to take place in the last 3.5 years of this age. The last 3.5 years of this age will be the time of Jacob's trouble. Now if you turn to Zechariah very, very quickly, we're told exactly what will be the consequences of the trouble upon the Jews that are there in Israel and in Jerusalem in particular at that time. Zechariah chapter 13, we're building up the jigsaw, and we're picking a wee bit here and a wee bit yonder, and we're bringing them together to build the picture. We've been to Jeremiah, we've been to Revelation, now we're in Zechariah. Here's another bit of the picture. The chapter 13, the last 2:8-9. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, 2 parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. The purpose of Jacob's trouble? To refine them as silver is refined, as gold is refined. How do you refine gold? Take it, put it in a container, and you put it into the fire until it melts. And when gold is melted in the fire, every bit of impurity that has attached itself to the gold rises to the surface, and you can skim it off, and there's nothing left but pure gold. Pure gold. So God is going to cleanse his people from all impurity by causing them to pass through this fire of trouble, in which two-thirds of them will perish, but one-third of them shall be saved. We know that they shall be saved, not only physically, but spiritually. Because as it is here in the last sentence of Zechariah 13, verse 9, they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. At the cross, did the Jewish people say of Jesus, he's my Lord? No, they didn't. They said, away with him, away with him. We have no king but Caesar. They rejected him. But here's the opposite taking place. That awful spirit of rejection that was manifested at the cross, here the Jewish people are delivered from it. And they're brought savingly to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And one of the means that God uses to bring this about is this awful time of trouble. This awful time of trouble. For in trouble they call upon the Lord. Go back to Jeremiah and to the chapter 30 again, and to the verses that we were looking together at, and remember what the Lord says. Verse 7, alas, for that day is great so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. That's important. Yes, God is going to bring about a time of judgment and chastening, a time of fire through which the Jewish people will pass. Many of them will perish, but he will bring out of it a remnant, and they shall be saved. They shall be saved. God is going to save a remnant of his people in the future. And you have it here in Jeremiah, you have it in Zechariah, and we looked at it in the book of Revelation. He's going to secure a place of refuge in the wilderness for his people. So in wrath, God remembers mercy. You know, God still uses chastening to bring souls to himself. That which he plans to do one day to bring back his people from their rebellion, God uses that method all the time. And there are those who he speaks to and they don't want to listen. And he speaks to them again and they say, no, I don't want to listen. I don't want to obey you. Sometimes he takes a rod, uses that rod to chasten, to humble, like the prodigal son who went away, and you know what he experienced, and the starvation that he went through, and the poverty he went through, until he was humbled. And he came back again to his father's house, and he admitted his sin, confessed it to his father, and asked for pardon. Don't rebel against the Lord. When he speaks to you, don't rebel. Because he is able to take the chastening rod. But if the Lord has spoken to you about salvation, oh please, you obey him. You obey him and get saved. So, we've, I hope, come a little further in our study regarding the time of Jacob's trouble, the great persecution. We'll return to the general subject again the next time we are together. Let's bow in prayer. Oh God, our Father, I pray that the boys and girls might gradually sort out the pieces and build the jigsaw of thy truth regarding the last days. Lord, there's not a child but can do a jigsaw. Oh, help them to get the principle of what it is they're seeking to do, what it is they're looking for, how to build the picture. Lord, may they learn the principle, and may they search the Bible to indeed gather together the pieces of information that God has given and build the picture. Answer prayer now, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.